Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the Trans-Pyrenees Race number 3, supported by our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. 6 a.m., Friday, 29th of September, race day at TPR 3. Our riders have gathered at the Promenade de Rochers in Saint-Jean-de-Luce. It's a starry sky and the moon is out over the bay. There's a gentle swell coming in off the sea and a nervous energy around the start line. Alison Felly-Jacquemont, Cap 136, speaks to race reporter Stuart Downey.
Oh my God, it's amazing. We're in a bay. I don't know what the bay's called actually, but the waves are crashing on the walls, on the beach, lined by all the houses. It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing start.
How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good. I slept well. I'm just going to start slow and get faster, hopefully.
That's the perfect plan. What are you looking forward to most of all over the coming days?
Just seeing the Pyrenees. I mean, I've seen little bits, but never its entirety. And no, I think it'll be, you can't see that much in a week if you wanted to. So, you know, yeah, it's a good way to explore the Pyrenees.
Janie Newbury, Cap 19.
I felt really nervous yesterday, but I felt really calm actually, just cycling down here, and I'm just ready to do something cool and fun. I just wanted to do something really cool on my bike. I retired last year as a professional triathlete, and then at the beginning of this year I went to New Zealand and rode a brevet that they have there, although it's not quite as... it's longer, but you have a lot longer to do it than here. And then I stayed there and just rode my bike for ages, bikepacking, and just had a really great time. And yeah, I just, since I've come home, really missed being in the hills on my own on my bike and wanted to just do a cool adventure.
So here you are.
Here I am.
Loads of kilometres in the
world. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit different. I used to race for like 2 hours, not 8 days, but you know, I'm just here to have a really good time. So however far I get, obviously I'd really love to get to the finish, but however far I get, I'll be happy.
Sam Thompson, Cap 2, is ready to go, despite some last minute challenges. He's enjoying the drier weather compared to last year's soggy start.
Feeling a lot better now. I have a card which hasn't been eaten by a machine, and some cash as well. A bit of a scare yesterday, having my card being eaten by a cash machine and having no money. So I had 2 hours of sweating even more in this heat, so I'm a lot more relaxed after that. But, and it's a lot nicer atmosphere starting in these sort of conditions than it was last year, and sort of waiting for apocalyptic rain to come in.
Tristan and Clément Jammart, Caps 140 A and B, plan to keep it simple.
How are we feeling?
I'm
feeling
good.
Excited.
All the family. I want to see my family in 6 days, and after 1,900 kilometers of beautiful country, I think, yeah.
Just, good landscape and mountain. Exciting.
What's the plan for this morning?
Keep rolling.
Yeah, rolling, and no, I don't
keep
know.
Keep riding and probably go to doing like 300 kilometers today.
I think so.
Yeah. Is the plan, but we're gonna see.
We know only the 100 first kilometers, and after we don't know, so we're gonna see if it's road we walk, and if it's hike and bike we walk. So
five, four, three, two, one, away you go.
Once the riders leave the sanctuary of Saint-Jean-de-Luce, they ride roughly 110 kilometers of start parkour, a mandatory route that takes them over a number of challenging climbs, including the stunning Col de Espargay. Once they eventually reach the end of the parkour at Col de Rau, they are free to choose their own route to the passive control point 1 in Ainsa, Spain. Our two control cars are out on the road too, catching up with riders to see how they're getting on. Joel Mackay, Cap 73, is feeling positive.
Yeah, magnificent so far. It's so far not as hard as I was expecting, but that is only the first 50k.
66 kilometres in.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. Expecting much more. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
what's the plan for the rest of the day?
Well, we'll see if I can get as far as Ainzer, or, you know, maybe within 50 k's of Ainzer. There's a few towns, stay in a place somewhere between 250 and 300. I've got no idea. This is just, you know, we'll just have, I've got a plan, but it could easily change in many different ways.
Will Parker, Cap 12.
Plenty of nerves to start off with. Despite being one of the slow guys, I ended up in the starting wave, which gave me a few knocks because, you know, everyone leaves you in the dust and then you spend the next 4 hours with people going past one by one and you're a bit like, You just got to kind of remind yourself, oh, well, you've got a plan, ride your own ride and forget about them. You've got different legs and different expectations. So kind of over that hump now, I think, along with these last two humps, which were quite pleasant, actually. That view down into the valley is superb. Plan is to get to Jaca, hopefully, before considering whether to push on through the night or rest. I know the next climb, the last climb of the parkour, is going to be a bit of a brutal one. Got a fun little diversion across the border from France back into Spain, not taking the Laral Pass. Have something else planned, so I'm quite looking forward to that. Bit of gravel, maybe a bit of hike bike, and then we'll see how things pan out.
Like anyone who has ever cycled in the Pyrenees, Niall Cooling, Cap 111, is enjoying the region's breathtaking landscapes. He seems happy with his morning's work so far.
Yeah, it's been good. It was went a bit chilly in the inversion layer for a bit, but no, these climbs are beautiful. These ones have been okay to tick on with everything else and just taking my time and enjoying the view. It's stunning, absolutely loving how the sun's out. So yeah, really enjoying it. I mean, look at that, it's just such a vista, it really is. So, but the next one's the one that's going to be a little bit harder, I think.
Col de Rao.
But so far so good. Yeah, no, nice and easy, you know, keeping to my pace and just enjoying it. So yeah, it's lovely.
It's 10 a.m. on day one and all the riders have successfully conquered their first big challenge. Andrew Phillips is our race reporter in Control Car 2.
So we just stood up on top of Col de Isbergui. We've had the last rider go through. It's a beautiful sunny day. We've got cloud inversions hanging in the valleys. The cols of the Pyrenees are looking stunning. The riders are all looking happy. There's a nice energy in the air. If a bit of trepidation for the Col de Rao, which is coming up.
Over in Control Car 1, David Eyre, race director, sums up what's happening at the front of the race in these early stages.
After the riders had finished the start parkour to the Col de Rao, there were a couple of different choices that they could have made. So some opted for a bit of gravel to drop them into Spain earlier, and then a fast, smooth descent down towards Ronsal and other towns there as they head along the road towards Jaca. There are a few early front runners in the race overall. So we have Adam Bialik, who appears to be going really well so far. We've got Laurens van Gucht, who's also hot on his tail. Alex McCormack is doing really well so far as well. And Nahuel Passerat as well is seemingly putting the best of his local knowledge in the Pyrenees into action on the road as he looks to take advantage of as many shortcuts as possible to keep up with the leading pack.
Back on the parkour and the road to the top of the Col de Rao at the end of the start parkour. For some riders, that start line adrenaline has drained away and the reality of the race is beginning to take shape. Others are relishing the challenge. Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 117.
So how did you find that?
It was a bit spicy, but it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I loved it.
You managed to pedal the whole way or you have to get
up
and push?
Yeah, I did. I stopped at the very start because I needed to adjust my gears and I had a handful of sweets. And then I stopped again for a snack, but I didn't push. I just carried on. I'm really lazy. I hate walking. I'd rather ride.
Spencer Long, Cap 114.
My back seized.
Oh dear.
So I've got spasms and I'm doing all right. I pulled it carrying a bike box the other day actually. So getting all the excuses out of the way first of all, right? But yeah, on the bike, I can manage it. Off the bike, I'm like really struggling. Slowing the pace so much, I've just fallen right back. But I'm just going to continue until I can't, you know what I mean? So hopefully I can just get better. But it felt good for the last 5K. But yeah, just a quick resupply and then off I go again. But, you know, yeah, it's not looking good, is it? But a long way to go.
Yeah. We'll see.
Those resupplies are important in any ultra-distance race. You have to make the right food choices when stopping to refuel. That goes for the night before a race too. Nicholas Emmenegger, Cap 11, has a few pre-race meal regrets, but it's not stopped him reaching the end of the start parkour.
Honestly, I mean, the scenery is amazing. It makes the pain go away very easily. Maybe didn't make the best food choices. I'm a bit bloated. I ate like a Lebanese yesterday. Lots of onions and beans, which is a bit problematic now. But other than that, going really well. Yeah, I'm going to take a little... I mean, I don't think it's a shortcut, but I'm not doing like the Port de la Roue. I'm doing a small piece of gravel. Mm-hmm. I think it should be all right.
Sergei Shilabin, Cap 44, is a TPR veteran and is once again relying on the simplicity of a single-speed bike to take him across the Pyrenees. What keeps him coming back?
You see a different places every time, and sometimes you get by night, and half time you get there by day, and it looks really different. I don't know. And, I have to go somewhere, because and this is a good challenge and like a good adventure as well, so why not? So and alternative is to sit home and at the sofa and with my computer, just like, I can do it in winter. But
Hannah Lobelestier, race coordinator, is in control car too.
So we're sat just beyond the finish of the start parkour. So riders have now tackled 109 kilometres to start the race, and they've just finished at the top of the Col de Irau, which is quite a steep climb that quite a few riders were having to get off their bike and push up. And now they're faced with the choice of various different route options as they head towards CP1 in Ainsa. So we've just seen some riders going through a gravel section at Casas de Arati. So they would have had to have pushed their bikes down some steep slopes down there, while other riders might be going over the Port de la Rau and sticking to the road as they head into Spain.
Joe Lesage, Cap 95.
Oh, that col was brutal. Yeah, there's quite a lot of walking going on. Yeah, hard. But that's what we're here for, so can't complain.
What about what you've got to come? What's your route from here on?
Well, Port de la Rau, but we'll see. I've had a look into it. I just hope... there's a barrier at the top, so... yeah, and then some hiker bike tomorrow by the look of it. And then, yeah, just keep moving.
Rob Hyde, Cap 124.
Hi there, Rob, how are we doing?
Not bad, yeah. Yeah, pretty good. Glad that last section's over with, but yeah, already been off on foot already, but yeah, can't do much when it's double figures.
Which bit was that?
Just that last climb at the end of the first parkour. Yeah, got to 20% at one point, I think. So, yeah, downhill from here, hopefully.
Most riders will have spent hours and hours planning their route and will be reluctant to change it once they are in the race. But not Sam Doody, Cap 46.
So, last-minute decision to go off-road.
That's the worst thing you can do, but turns out... seems like quite a nice decision, although I haven't seen the part down there.
And do you have the route file for it downloaded, or are you...?
Fortunately, I had some internet, as soon as I changed direction. So I loaded it into here, and it's going to save, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 metres climbing.
So what was it that made you change your mind?
About 1,000-metre climb, I was like, another one of those. No thanks. And there's tree cover, so it's going to be cooler, less climbing, shorter route. So yeah.
Another climb like around might just to finish you off.
Not finish me off, but we've got a long way to go. So yeah.
Tim Zimmer, Cap 104, is also looking to avoid climbing Port de la Rau and changing his footwear.
Can you describe to me what you're doing at the moment?
Taking a shortcut with a bit of hiker bike, or like mountaineering actually, and avoiding the Port de la Rau. Mostly. Yeah, just a bit of gravel.
It's just a bit of gravel. I mean, to paint the scene for the listener here, your bike is on your back, and just stumbling up a muddy chute with road shoes on.
Yeah, but I'm hoping this will only go on for another 150 meters or so. So, and after that, it's just a bit of gravel.
Happy with the shoe choice?
So far, I do have a pair of trainers, but yeah, I didn't want to get them out for just a couple of hundred meters.
In a long afternoon of riding, one of the riders to take on the Port de Lorau is Caroline Buckland, Cap 34.
All right, it's a tough day. It's probably the hardest day of climbing I've ever done.
Can you tell me what happened with your bike?
Yeah, no, I think maybe the pressure was too high. But essentially they burst twice.
Your inner tube popped.
No inner tubes.
Tubeless.
Yeah.
Blew off the rim.
Blew off the rim.
Oh god.
Twice. So hopefully it's all good now.
All
hopefully
sorted.
I can get down to the end of town. I was going to put an inner tube in, but I can't get the thing off.
Oh dear. Well, good luck. Hope you get it sorted.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't pass me with another one.
At the front of the race, the riders are closing in on control point one, where they'll need to make a significant route choice. Laurens van Gucht, Lucas Becker, and Adam Bielek have been joined by the winner of TPR number one, Thomas Jacquelinet. Further back, Molly Weaver, Cap 9, is making good progress as one of the fastest women in the race.
Feeling pretty good. My legs hurt a lot from all the climbing at like stupid percentages for like so many hours. For this kind of climb is where, obviously, it's beautiful, the views are incredible, but it's also like you're in your smallest gear and it's a max effort just to get up them, and they're like all 10k long or more, but then you get the descent, so for that brief moment you're in heaven. The knees holding up, the legs are completely toast. You know, I've not climbed a mountain in a while. I've not ridden my bike for very long in a while. So yeah, definitely a shock to the system. And then the last maybe like 30k, triple 10, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less, I don't remember. It's been flat. So now my ass also really hurts. So, I mean, there's no winners here except us for being here because, you know, what an honor. yeah, having a blast. Long may it continue.
As the sun begins to set on the first day at TPR3, a number of riders have now made it to the first control point. As expected, some of them have gone one way, some have gone another direction entirely. David Eyre, race director.
We are at CP1 in Ainsa in Spain. We have just seen the top 10 riders on the road pass through, which has been really exciting over the last hour. So the sun is starting to set slightly and the race is lighting up on the road, which is exciting. So out of the top 10, we've seen 7 riders go in one direction and 3 riders go in another. So we've seen a fork at this point in the road. It's something that we expected, but we're also really pleased to see happen, and we're interested to see how the choices play out. So 3 riders have headed north at this juncture, up towards Bielsa, where they'll be looking to tackle some double track and single track potentially with Hike a Bike Over the Mountain, with other riders heading east, continuing on the road that they've come along since the town of Yaca. We don't know yet whether they'll be heading towards Vieja, whether they'll be pressing on further east, or whether they have completely different plans, but we're excited to see how it pans out.
Thomas Jacquelinet, Cap 138, is one of the riders who chose to head north towards the gravel. Stuart Downey, race reporter in Control Car 2, caught up with him during a short stop to refuel.
How's it going?
Okay.
You're absolutely flying.
Yeah, I think so, but I want to keep on my rhythm, you know?
Sure.
I don't want to... But I'm not looking forward to that gravel climb. It's gonna be really hard.
A little bit tired. Not gonna lie. I didn't even sleep well last night.
No, with the stress and excitement. Didn't get enough the proper rest I wanted. The climb in the País Vasco, man, so tough. It was so, and I didn't
feed properly before, and I was getting low on water. I didn't refill from the start. I didn't refill in this piggy, so I had to, you know, battery save mode.
Yeah, yeah, low power mode.
Yeah, everyone was passing me.
Mm.
Yeah, I was almost cramped up, like.
What made you choose this direction?
There's no other option, in my opinion. Well, no other viable option.
In the next episode, we'll find out what happened overnight and on day two of the Trans-Pyrenees race. Whose route choices will pay off, and how will the endless, grueling climbs start to affect our riders? You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read daily race reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.